There are many beautiful gardens to visit in this country, and it's a great time of the year to do it too, as you all know. And today we have two guests with us who bought houses with some land and accidentally became the creators of two very different gardens that you can now visit. Carl Wright of Caherbridge Garden in the Burren and Catherine McCann of Shekinah Sculpture Garden in Wicklow. And thank you both for joining me and for coming in to studio today. I start with you, Carl. How did you get involved in all this? How did a man from Devon end up in the Burren with a garden when the Burren kind of is a garden?
Yeah, it is. That's a very long story, and we're running over time already.
Okay.
How did I end up here? Well, I suppose when I was a child, from a very early age, I was always fanatical on nature and the outdoors, everything to do with nature. And I had a passion for fossils and rocks and minerals and the earth in general. And when I became a teenager, I actually took up caving, potholing. And I was a mad caver for many, many, many years. So if I could get
which in itself requires
mad.
A bit of madness.
Oh,
yes,
absolutely.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm completely bonkers. And so any hole that I could get down, I would. So I spent so much time caving. The Burren, of course, is one of Europe's classic caving limestone areas.
Yeah, wonderful ones there.
Wonderful area of limestone. And it was inevitable that I would end up at some stage exploring the caves of the Burren. So I used to come over on holidays looking at the caves and exploring them. And I'm also passionate about wildflowers. So the Burren, of course, is a perfect place for me. Mm. And eventually I decided, maybe I should move over for a little while so that I could get to know not just the Burren, but Ireland as well. I was really keen to try and find out what made Ireland tick. Because it was a country that, when I was at school, we didn't hear anything about Ireland. We weren't told about
right.
Ireland. And I really wanted to find out what Ireland was all about.
Okay.
So I came over for a couple of years and, well, I'm still here.
And you bought kind of what we call a doer-upper. And you did it up yourself.
Did.
And then the garden.
The garden's actually an accident. I bought this beautiful little cottage, which was derelict, in 96. And I wanted to try and rebuild it, but I wanted to try and do the entire project on my own from the roof down, which I pretty much managed to do. And then in 99, I just started tidying up outside the front door.
Right. We have to get to how you ended up wheelbarrowing, I think, 1.5 tons?
I knew this would come up. Since 1999, I've brought into the garden over 1,500 tons of topsoil.
Yes, I thought it was rather a lot.
Yeah. And it's all been hand sieved.
1,500 tons of topsoil.
1,500 tons.
Yeah,
that's an awful lot of soil.
I can imagine. Now, if I could turn to you, Catherine. You came a very circuitous path as well to your garden, because you started, you actually must be the last farmer in Dublin 4.
Possibly. Yes.
You were in 18 acres.
That's right, in the Simmons Court area. It's now largely owned by the RDS and their buildings as well. And a very important bit in there is the Poor Clare Nuns. My grandparents bought that house and lived in it, as did my father, and I did until I was 18 years old. So we had four or five fields with cows and not exactly sheep, horses, and then a lovely garden with gardeners. So I did no gardening in those years, but I was able to appreciate it.
Right. But you had staff to do it outside.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
As well as staff inside. And then 25 years with the Religious Sisters.
The Religious Sisters of Charity. 25 wonderful years. I enjoyed them very much. They trained me as a physiotherapist, and so I worked in healthcare and continued on that when I left. That was my main work, and until my mid-60s when I left. And I was in primary health care, so I was very interested in your previous programme, the bit I heard of it.
Right.
And the need for that to be developed. And after a couple of years after I left, I felt I should be thinking about where I was going to live the rest of my life. So I went looking, and too expensive in Dublin at that time when I left the convent after 25 years. And I went looking in Wicklow, the first one I saw, and I went and saw it that very day because I heard other people were going down. And I put my deposit in. I just had enough the next day within 24 hours.
That's decisiveness for you. But you must have just fallen in love straight away.
Well, I didn't know that. It's absolutely in the centre of County Wicklow, and it's the lovely scenic area of Lemalure.
And how did the gardening come about?
Well, there was a typical county council cottage with just an acre of land. So there was nothing special there, which was great. So I took down a big shed. But what was there was this lovely sloping garden with these scenic views all around, and it had a stream. I couldn't believe it. So that was the big attraction.
Mm.
And the first winter I was there, I also had a wheelbarrow and was moving a lot of earth because I dug out two ponds. And then I did a couple of shrub beds. And one day, I think I was about 5 years in there, and I thought a sculpture might look nice. I don't know where the idea came from. I hadn't been to particularly many sculpture exhibitions, and I discovered this lady, and she had a bit of work in progress, and I got my first one from her, Cliona Cussell. So over the years it grew. Most of them I saw, some of them I commissioned, which is a very nervous kind of thing to go. You never know exactly what's going to turn up. And now I have a collection of 20 sculptures by modern Irish artists. And recently the president came, a state visit, I'll tell you about that in a minute, and on loan got a lovely sculpture from Fed Conlon, and it's on the roadside, so it's quite a distinct piece on the road in the area of Kirikee, where the cottage is.
Right.
And I had this collection growing, and I had about 12 to 14. And I suddenly thought, well, I'm a single woman, I have no dependents. What will happen when I'm not here, so to speak? So I offered it to the government, and to my delight, they accepted it. And it's now under the Department of Culture, Heritage, and the Gaeltacht.
Oh, right.
And in particular, under the National Parks and Wildlife.
And that is something that pleases you no end, obviously.
Well, it does, because I feel it'll be maintained as that.
Right.
When I'm not here.
Yeah.
It is a very beautiful place, and people have been coming, especially since the president came. Our visitors, like everywhere else, they're down this year. But I welcome people as long as they can find the details about the place on the website.
Yes.
And I should say a previous person on your show, Mark Patrick Hedeman and Paddy Woodward, I've got two lovely articles on the garden for people who want to know more about it.
Oh, right. Lovely.
It's
yeah.
essentially a garden to be in. And what I do is I greet every visitor, because I think hospitality is very important, and give them a cup of tea at the end. But most people have followed this suggestion. They go around on their own, not with their partner or friend or whatever it is, for half an hour, depending on their time. And I suggest they try and get out of their heads and get into receptive mode and receive what the garden has to offer. And that the best way of doing this is to get out of your head. It's a kind of a mindfulness, but I want to get away from the mind.
Right.
And open up people to using their senses in a much more conscious way.
Smells, touch, all of that.
Yes, and particularly touch. I like people to be very tactile in the garden. I suggest sometimes they take off the shoes, which I'm sure you wouldn't do in your garden, Carl. But and on the whole, they found this very, very helpful.
Okay.
And also to get into their inner sensing, equivalent inner sensing.
This is your spiritual background coming to the fore in a garden way?
Possibly, yes, yeah. I'm sure it is.
Carl, The Burren, I mean, it's one of the most beautiful parts of Ireland, really. And it has all its own wildflowers.
Yeah.
So how did you approach the idea of, like, you weren't going to put in laburnum? I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I have, actually.
Have you, really? Yeah. I mean, how do you go about that in a way that's appropriate to the landscape all around you?
Well, this is something that has become a bit of an obsession with me. I wasn't a gardener to start with, so my background is ecology. And when I started to design the garden, one thing I really didn't want to do was create an eyesore in the landscape, because rural gardens can be very, very difficult to place within the landscape. And I personally have come to believe that the most important aspect of garden design in rural gardens is that they must include and be part of the surrounding landscape, which is often a huge challenge.
Yes.
Now, the Burren, of course, is a fairly minimalist landscape, if you like.
It sure is.
There's an awful lot of rock.
Yeah.
It's quite bleak. Although I'm in a little valley, which is actually quite beautiful and perhaps not typical. So I've designed the entire garden to blend in and include the landscape that's around it where possible. And to do this, I've used a lot of the existing trees and bushes that were there. It's basically in a woodland. It's a kind of woodland garden. I have a river as well, which is an amazing resource.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I've used a lot of native plants as well as garden plants.
How did you start? Like, what did you begin with?
I began with a dense jungle of blackthorn, hawthorn and hazel, and the house was completely buried in trees. I mean, it was almost impossible to get in there in the beginning, and I've just gradually inched my way and cleared, created little rooms, little pockets, little areas that I could plant up.
And the plantings?
The plantings, the garden is very varied because I'm a serious plantaholic now, so I have a huge amount of collections. The plantings have been designed to blend again into the landscape. If you can see into the garden from the outside, the backdrop is specifically designed to just merge into the background. But if you're in part of the garden where you cannot see out from inside or in from outside, it is much more formal and has a lot more garden plants. But
right.
There are a lot of native plants included as well.
Yeah.
Meadow areas, I'm putting in meadow areas, wildflower areas as well, which I don't really have to try very hard to do because I'm surrounded by it anyway.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Presume the two of you are very conscious garden-wise. We hear so much about it now, about bees and insects and encouraging all the, what I call, whizzers and buzzers into the garden.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, very much so.
And for planting? For that?
Well, I wouldn't say I specifically plant for that.
Right.
But by using a lot of native plants and plants which are already there. So, like, it's very difficult for me to plant trees because I have very little ground to plant them in. But I do collect trees, but I only collect hawthorns. So I'm planting different species of hawthorns,
right,
which are, of course, hugely valuable for all insects. And it's not just bees. We must try and think more about wasps and beetles and flies and all the other things because they're all pollinators.
Right.
They all have a role to play.
You have 150 species of what do you call them? The ferns.
Ferns. Oh, I'm mad into ferns.
Didn't know there
ferns.
Were 150.
Oh, there's thousands. I've been collecting ferns now for quite a long time. And, of course, the Burren is covered in ferns anyway.
Yeah.
And the woodlands are full of ferns.
Right.
And I've got a fernery now, an area which is dedicated to ferns. But, yeah, I can't leave a fern behind.
Right. Catherine, on those things about biodiversity.
Well, the ferns, the last thing, I'm always cutting them back because grow at such a colossal rate, so I think I've only the one species. It's the same one everywhere. I suppose I'm late really about the pollination thing, but the pond, of course, the two ponds bring a lot of insects and
Whizzes and buzzers.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah. And I've just this summer, for the first time, I have a section of grass that I don't mow. It's a very small area of the garden. It's behind four lovely wrought iron screens that I have done by Paul Page. And they're quite dramatic, and I'm just letting the grass grow. And when the flowers come in, the wildflowers, I mean, it looks quite well, I think.
It certainly will. How much does it cost to visit your garden?
There isn't a cost to come in. There's a donation to Vincent de Paul, and if people want to buy the catalogue associated with it. And I do have some of my other books for sale too. I've written my life story, a book recently last year, the update one on ageing. And the book where I interviewed you for was on my first book, Who Cares? A Guide for All Who Care for Others. And I chose you. It links with your previous programme. How much you are a good educational carer, seeing to the needs of the country, and in that sense.
So oh my God, I'm blushing away here badly.
I have a book on that.
Okay, to go to yours, Carl.
Well, I'm open by appointment only, so it's very easy. That shouldn't put people off. Many of the smaller gardens in Ireland are by appointment. Don't let it put people off, because all you have to do is ring or Facebook, visit the Facebook page, leave a message on that, or email to make an appointment. And I'm open most days, not every day, but most days through from sort of late April right through till people stop coming, really, which is September.
Right. Yeah, okay.
For a guided tour.
Would just like to add that I'm open most days too.
Okay.
And occasionally there's nobody there, but try and ring beforehand. The phone number is on the website.
And I should say that to look it up, Carl Wright, Carrbridge Garden, that's C-A-H-E-R, Carrbridge Garden, the Burren, and Catherine McCann, Shekinah Garden in Wicklow. What an interesting life you've had. Okay. Listen, thank you both very, very much indeed for coming in. Thank you.